Namandal, Cinamandal, 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 Cinamandal. Begin this talk with a reading from the Nirvana Sutra. This passage of the Nirvana Sutra is quoted by Shinran Shonin in his chapter on Shinjin, from the True Teaching Practice and Realization. Suppose there are parents with seven children. When there is sickness among the seven children, although the father and mother are concerned equally with all of them, nevertheless their hearts lean wholly toward the sick child. Great King, it is like this with the Tathagata. It is not that there is no equality among all sentient beings, but his heart leans wholly toward the person who has committed evil.
例えば、あるものに7人の子がいたとしましょう。その7人の子の中で1人が病気になれば、親の心は平等ではないわけではありませんが、その病気の子には特に心をかけるようなものであります。王様如来もまたその通りです。
あらゆる衆生を平等に見ておられますが、罪ある者には特に心をかけてくださるのですと。Today we're observing Nirvana Day. Nirvana Day is the day in which we commemorate the conclusion of the Buddha, Shakyamuni Buddha's life in this world. And so for Nirvana Day, I've chosen to select a passage, this passage from the collected works of Shinran, and to share a story about an event that occurred towards the end of the Buddha's life for this message. Around the end of the Buddha's life, the Buddha had a close relationship with a king, King Bimbisara. And King Bimbisara was one of the Buddha's great patrons. King Bimbisara had a son who we could say was a bit of a troublemaker. He made many poor decisions throughout his life and didn't always choose the best companions. Particularly, one of the king's sons, Ajatasattru, one of Prince Ajatasattru's closest companions, was the Buddha's cousin, Devadatta. Devadatta was what we would certainly call a bad influence, and Devadatta also had intense jealousy towards the Buddha and aspired to usurp the Buddha's leadership of the Sangha. And so to that end, Prince Ajatasattru was advised by Devadatta to usurp the throne of the kingdom. And so to that end, Prince Ajatasattru had his father, the king, thrown in jail. And while his father was in jail, and jailed by the prince, his father passed away. And so Prince Ajatasattru, deeply stricken with grief and deep feelings of remorse and guilt, became so distressed that he became physically ill. And it's said that he had sores that erupted all over his body, and he was inconsolable. His mother, the queen, Vaidehi, did her best to treat him and provide medicated ointments and so forth to try to ease his pain. But the prince remarked to her that because this sickness comes from my heart, what kind of teaching, what kind of person could help to heal me? And so one by one, people came and approached the prince, hoping to comfort him, hoping to win his favor by setting him at ease. And they provided him with various consolations, various advice to ease his mind. And they said things to him like, the ideas of good and bad, these are just ideas made up by people, so don't worry about it. There are two sets of laws, some said. One set of laws for renunciants, for monks and nuns, people like the Buddha. And there are another set of laws, another set of guidelines for people who govern the state. And so according to the laws for rulers, for kings. You know, the king can do as the king sees fit. So this, because this isn't illegal, so it's not wrong. One after another, these sort of rationalizations were offered. And so Prince Ajatasattru does not feel better. I think he understands deep in his heart that something is very wrong and that just to continue with rationalizations is not going to resolve the problem. So at this point, then he receives the advice of Jivaka. Jivaka was the court doctor. He's one of the wisest ministers to the state. And Jivaka, upon seeing him in this distressed state, says, "Oh, excellent, excellent. Though the king has committed a crime, profound remorse has been stirred in his heart, and he is filled with shame and self-reproach." And so Jivaka advises him that this is the first step. You recognize that you've done something wrong. So this is the point at which you are ready to have a change of heart, to turn your life around. And so Jivaka recognizes that the time is ripe for him to hear the teachings of the Buddha. And Jivaka counsels him and strongly encourages him. Now is the time for you to hear the teachings of the Buddha. You've begun with this most important step of recognizing how you've gone astray, and now going to the Buddha, you can be carried the rest of the way to the path toward liberation. Prince Ajatasattru recognizes that he's made some very bad mistakes, he's done some very bad things, and he feels that he's not worthy to go to see the Buddha, and so his first inclination is to put it off, to delay, to procrastinate, so to speak. And so the Buddha, with his powers of all-knowing wisdom as an enlightened being, he recognizes this. And so it's around this time that he informs his disciple Ananda that he will pass into nirvana in 3 months. So this is a message for Ajatasattru that now is the time. Now is the time. You can't put this off into the future. Don't put off what needs to be done today, what you need to attend to now at this moment. And so the Buddha then further vows to remain in the world long enough to help Ajatasattru. And these events are described in the Nirvana Sutra and also cited by Shindan Shonin in the chapter on Shinjin. And the Buddha at this point then sends forth a light from the place where he dwells, and this light heals Ajatasattru's sores and heals his body. And Ajatasattru, astonished by this transformation, questions Jivaka, "What's going on here?" And Jivaka advises him, "The Buddha, in his compassion, has healed your body, and now it's time to heal your mind. The Buddha is also ready to heal your mind, so now is your opportunity." So Ajatasattru then, inspired by this, but with continued reservations, begins his journey to the dwelling place of the Buddha. And as they're on the way, he receives news of other kings and other important people who have suffered the karmic retribution of their effects, of their acts. They've done something bad, and then bad things have happened to them. So Ajatasattru, of course, you know, having heard the Buddha's teachings many times and being familiar with the Dharma taught by the Buddha, also understood the principle of karma. So he's becoming increasingly agitated, and he actually becomes so distraught that he asks to ride together with Jivaka on the elephant that Jivaka's riding, as opposed to they were riding two elephants. So he asks, "May I ride on your elephant?" And this way Jivaka can continue to console him and set his mind at ease as they're traveling. Finally, when the prince Ajatasattru, now the king Ajatasattru, arrives at the Buddha's place, the Buddha counsels him and congratulates him for coming, thanks him for coming, and also reminds him or makes clear to him that it is thanks to this good friend, Jivaka, that he's had this good counsel, this good counselor or a good teacher. And at this point emphasizes the importance of meeting a good teacher, someone who can help you at the right time to turn your mind around, and that it's the moment of hearing the good teaching and then entrusting your life to the Buddha's wisdom and compassion. We call that Shinjin, or true entrusting, that it's that act of entrusting that turns one's life around and sets one's life on a different path, such that up to that point, all of the transgressions, all of the harmful things that King Ajatasattu had done, Prince Ajatasattu before he was became the king, all of that bad karma is from that previous life. And then with the change of heart, with the changing direction, that his life is transformed. And so this is a message that the Buddha's compassion can transform anyone's life, no matter what sort of bad mistakes and errors and harmful acts they've done. Now, that's not to say that a person isn't made to face the consequences of their acts in this life. You know, we see one expression of that are these sores that burst out over Ajatasattu's body, that this karmic retribution comes about, that this is something that occurs in this life, but that our karma going forward is transformed by the Buddha's compassion, such that this karmic momentum that we can build in a negative direction through harmful acts, hurting others, hurting ourselves, that we can break that cycle by entrusting our lives, turning our mind to the Buddha's wisdom and compassion. And that's the principle of life in the Nembutsu, to hear the Buddha's teaching, to receive the counsel of good teachers, whoever those may be, family members, friends, Dharma teachers, could be anyone in your life, could be that good teacher who brings you around, and then to receive that compassion of the Buddha. The Buddha's most deep concern is for the foolish beings, those who have made mistakes. So this passage that I read at the beginning of my talk, where Jivaka advises Prince Ajatasattu that the Buddha's compassion leans wholly toward the person who has committed evil. So as they're preparing to journey, to go to visit the Buddha, Prince Ajatasattu has deep doubts and deep reservations, thinking, oh, I'm not worthy. The Buddha won't see somebody like me. And so it's at that time that Jivaka says, uses this example, suppose there are parents with 7 children. When there is sickness among the 7 children, although the father and mother are concerned equally with all of them, nevertheless, their hearts lean wholly toward the sick child. So if a kid gets sick, parents take time off work, they take the kid to the doctor, they do whatever needs to be done. And it's not that they don't love their other children or they're not concerned about their other children, but they recognize that that child is the one who really needs their attention at that moment. And it's likewise with the Buddha's teachings. The Buddha's teachings are not for people who are already enlightened. They're for those who need that guidance to get to enlightenment. The Buddha's most concerned with how can we alleviate suffering. And beginning with those who are suffering the most, and those who suffer the most are those who are deeply mired in the effects of their negative karma. So the Nembutsu teaching is to recognize our own foibles, our own mistakes, our own foolishness, my own foolishness, and then from that place to see the value of the Buddha's teaching, to turn my life around, to entrust myself to that. And in entrusting to the Buddha's teaching, we receive great peace of mind, and we express that, the joy of that peace of mind, in the words Namo Amida Butsu, which means I take refuge in the awakened one of immeasurable light and life, the Buddha of immeasurable wisdom and compassion. O Nembutsu というのは自分の間違ったところを気づいて、で、その間違ったところを気づいたところで、じゃあ正しく生ける方向はどこにあるか、よりどころ いること。それが分かった時点に仏様の身教えに出会いがあれば、そこに人生じゃ任せよう。そういう私の今からの方向、死後のこと、すべてを仏様の身光に、お光に任せようとすること、知恵と慈悲の光が私の今から歩む道を照らすということの確信を持って、そういう道を歩んだときは、安心感が生まれてきて、その安心によって喜ぶことがあります。で、喜び出して、そういう喜びを表すことは、南無阿弥陀仏のお念仏で表すことですね。これは、親鸞聖人が進む、その他力本願のお念仏、阿弥陀如来の救いがあって、仏様にこの身を任せることによって幸せになることは必ずあるという安心を持って、その感謝と喜びをお念仏、南無阿弥陀仏を表すのがこのお念仏を歩む道ですね。 So this will conclude this Dharma talk on the occasion of Nirvana Day. Thank you very much for listening. Please join me in Gassho. Namanda, it's Namanda, it's Namanda, it's Namanda, it's Namanda.